Welcome to Behind the Headlines, your daily roundup of some of the stories our reporters have been covering across the UK today. It's usually the most talkable stories of the day, often the quirkier but also the more serious. And today we find out all about the plans for Manchester United's new stadium and what it means for that part of the city.
I'm not overly keen on it, I'll be honest. The whole circus tent design, the Trident design, I get it. I don't know. Maybe. I'm hoping it'll grow on me. But at the minute, I feel it's a little bit like, really? That's the design?
We also have the latest on the collision in the North Sea, and we hear about the latest initiative to cut down on knife crime. But tonight, we start at Old Trafford, the theatre of dreams, although maybe not so much lately. Manchester United, along with its architects, have today unveiled the artist's impression of its plans for a new 100,000-seat stadium just next to its current ground. It'll reportedly cost £2 billion, with many wondering quite where that money's coming from. Our senior reporter Olivia Davies has been at Old Trafford for us today. First things first, Liv, what's it going to look like?
Lots of people are drawing their own comparisons to a massive circus tent. And anyone who's not a United fan, I'll let you pop your own joke right there. Whilst United co-owner Sir Jim Ratcliffe says it'll be the north of England's version of the Eiffel Tower. Architects have also released scaled models and conceptual images of what the 100,000-seater stadium would look like, both inside and out. The stadium itself is mostly enclosed oval, much like Tottenham Stadium that we see in the north of London, which the designers say actually create a more intense atmosphere and apparently make you feel a lot closer to the pitch as well. But the whole project will also regenerate the whole Old Trafford area with 17,000 homes as part of the plans.
You've mentioned a few figures there, 100,000 capacity, 17,000 homes. What are some of the other key facts and figures?
Well, they've been at the current Old Trafford home now for 115 years, so you could say it is probably time for something new. We're told the project will reportedly cost around £2 billion, and it will be built next to the existing site to preserve its essence. The club says it will create 92,000 new jobs and lead to an additional £7.3 billion for the UK economy.
And when might we see this become a reality?
Well, that's another question. United working in conjunction with the Old Trafford Regeneration Task Force, and Sir Jim Ratcliffe has said it mostly depends on how quickly the government gets going with the regeneration programme. Normally a 10-year project, he reckons they can get it done in just five.
And what's been some of the reactions so far to those plans?
Well, yeah, Manchester United Supporters Trust are worried about what it'll mean for the fans. There's already lots of uncertainty around next year's ticket prices, continuing poor performance on the field, speculation around sales of the key young players and the recent financial results. So they're asking, will it drive up ticket prices and force local fans out? Will it harm the atmosphere in the actual stadium? Will it add to the debt burden or lead to reduced investment in players? And they're basically being asked to consult and get their questions answered. But Sir Jim Ratcliffe says they're simply building the world's greatest football ground.
Thanks, Liv. And as a United fan, let's hope so. We'll be back with Liv at Old Trafford later in the programme. And she was also there for us today for the launch of this year's Soccer Aid. So we'll hear from her again shortly. As well as returning to Old Trafford, we've still got the latest on the burning tanker in the North Sea, a bin strike in Birmingham.
People shouldn't have to leave with rats and everything running around.
And we're at the first day of the Cheltenham Festival.
And I just think it's the best atmosphere ever, and we're here to all celebrate good horses, whether you win, lose or draw.
But first, the killer of three members of the same family will never be released from prison. Kyle Clifford from Enfield in North London, who refused to be in court for his sentencing, has been given three whole life tariffs for the murders of his ex-girlfriend Louise Hunt, her sister Hannah and mum Carol at their home in Bushey in Hertfordshire last summer. Our reporter Zoe Head-Thomas was at Cambridge Crown Court for us today. Zoe, what can you tell us about what it was like inside?
Well, Carl Clifford was allowed to stay in his cell throughout this trial for the rape of Louise Hunt and for today's sentencing. He's been given a whole life sentence for three murders, with more time added for rape, possession of offensive weapons and false imprisonment. His decision to put the Hunt family through the ordeal of a trial has been labelled cowardly by investigating police detective Nick Gardner from our region major crime unit.
Clifford showed once again that he is a coward. He refused to attend court for his trial or to hear his punishment. Aged just 26, Clifford has many years ahead of him to consider the consequences of his crime and the senseless devastation he has brought to others.
His choice not to be present today is despite every concession made by the judge to accommodate him.
So he wasn't there to hear the Hunt family's powerful victim impact statements.
That's right. They acknowledged the fact that he wasn't there to hear them. But John Hunt, Carol's husband and Louise and Hannah's father, said it was his final opportunity to say what he wanted to say to Clifford. With tears in his voice, he said, "The impact of what you have done will be taken to my grave. But on my way there, I want you to know I stand strong here today." He described Carol's levels of misogyny as off the scale, hoping that women around the world will take Louise's bravery as a beacon for their lives. Amy Hunt, daughter to Carol and sister to Louise and Hannah, in her statement described Clifford as demonic. We've revoiced some of her statement with an actor.
"Their home is a place that was and should have continued to be safe for them, and you made it the most unsafe place in the world for those few hours. You are a monster."
And the public gallery was filled with friends and family of the victims, who wiped tears as both Amy and John said their piece.
Thanks, Zoe. The latest on that tanker and cargo ship collision in the North Sea now, where fires are still burning off the coast of East Yorkshire. Humberside police have today arrested a 59-year-old man on suspicion of gross negligence manslaughter, with one crew member of the Solong freighter still missing, presumed dead. And there have been calls for an emergency Cobra meeting to help avoid what one council leader in the area has called a potential environmental catastrophe. Owners of the Stena Immaculate say it was carrying 220,000 barrels of jet fuel. So what is the risk to wildlife? Our senior reporter Rebecca Quarmby is on the Lincolnshire coast in Cleethorpes for us.
And with Tammy Smalley from Lincolnshire Wildlife Trust, we're standing on the pier. I can see Spurn Point right in front of us. It's around 11 miles from Withernsea. Now, loads of wildlife flock here, don't they, Tammy? Just what effect could the oil from the tanker have on birds and even fish too?
We can see right here now that there are turnstones down on the beach and what look like sandaling. So, you know, wildlife is right here, right now.
Is this a real concern?
It is a concern. It always is when there's a marine incident such as this. And this is a big one with the aviation fuels already spilt. The long-term impacts we don't yet know. But in the short term, it could be very devastating.
The counter pollution and salvage team are at the scene developing a plan. We'll have more updates as we get them.
Next, we've spoken to a man who's won compensation from the police over his arrest at a protest when King Charles visited Oxford. It happened after he shouted during the proclamation of the king. Our reporter Andrea Fox has more.
Remember this from September 2022.
God save the king!
God save the king!
Prince Charles publicly being declared king, but Simon Hill, who shouted, "Who elected him?" outside the city's Carfax Tower, tells us he was shocked to find himself arrested for it.
I felt gobsmacked, to be honest. The fact that they actually arrested me, I don't know what threat they thought I posed, that I needed my handcuffed behind my back.
His case was eventually dropped. Then, with the backing of Liberty, he sued Thames Valley Police. The force have now accepted the grounds of the offence the 47-year-old was arrested for were unlawful and have paid him £2,500 compensation. Simon, a trainee Baptist minister now living in Coventry, feels the police need better training and says he worries about free speech.
The police as a whole needs massive overhauling and retraining and really needs to be held to account. It's not the free speech of millionaires and celebrities and politicians and prominent commentators that I'm concerned about. It's the free speech of ordinary people, people like me, people like you, people listening to this programme.
In a statement, Thames Valley Police says public order and public safety operations are a key part of policing, adding it's important they use these circumstances to help shape their future response.
Still to come on Behind the Headlines, safe knives, fast horses, and we're back at Old Trafford.
I cannot wait to see what Tyson's like as a manager. I just can't wait. And as for Rooney, he's just a legend of English football.
But to Birmingham first, where nearly 400 bin workers have downed tools indefinitely today. It's part of an escalating row with the council over pay and conditions. Unite the Union says its members are facing pay cuts after the council scrapped a safety role. Our reporter Alice Smith has been down to the picket line.
Are we angry?
Yes!
Are we seething?
Yes!
And are we going to win?
Yeah! Well, bin workers are making their voices heard loud and clear here on the picket line as indefinite strike action gets underway. It's over plans to scrap a safety critical role, which Unite says would lead to losses of up to £8,000 a year for as many as 150 workers. I've been speaking to Zoe Mayhew from the union, who has this to say.
Thank you for the support that the people of Birmingham are showing us. We don't want to be here. We do want to resolve the issue. But unfortunately, Birmingham City Council need to come to us. We're not holding the city to ransom. It's the council that are.
One of the bin workers I spoke to today says he'd lose around £200 a month if current plans go ahead, which would leave him struggling to pay some of his bills. Meanwhile, residents here say they're concerned about problems with rats and growing piles of rubbish.
I know what they're saying, and it's a shame that this is happening for the bin men, but people shouldn't have to live with rats and everything running around.
It's impacted everybody in the community. At the end of the day, sort of the bin men have to get a fair pay for the work that they do.
Of course we've been impacted. You know, there's a lot of rubbish on the streets. So we were thinking of going to the dumps and just dumping it there. I mean, it's a hassle, isn't it?
The City Council says it acknowledges the disruption the strikes will cause to residents, despite making what it says is a fair and reasonable offer to Unite.
To Northern Ireland next, where a new watchdog report has found a dramatic deterioration in ambulance handover times. It reveals the number taking longer than 3 hours jumped from around 400 to 11,000 in the past 5 years. Those delays cost £50 million. Our reporter Chelsea Keeley has more.
The target time for an ambulance to complete a drop-off is within 15 minutes. But Aisling Kavanagh's 66-year-old mother, who is diabetic and has early-onset dementia, has had to wait hours on several occasions, including when she had a fractured hip.
That had annoyed me because she was diabetic. I didn't know whether her blood sugars, like, were they looking after those? At that age, she has poor mobility. She'll have to get in out of the ambulance to go to the bathroom, anything like that. Honestly, it was very frustrating and I was angry.
The health department says reducing ambulance handover delays is a key priority, and a significant programme of work has been taken to tackle the issue.
Now, if you're a regular listener to Behind the Headlines, you know we'll have covered knife crime a lot over recent months, and in particular, different ideas of how to tackle it. Today, Kent Police have told us that more families buying rounded kitchen knives instead of pointed ones could reduce the deaths and injuries caused by knife crime. The Safer Knife Replacement Scheme gives selected households in the county a pack of rounded knives, along with safety and guidance, in exchange for replacing all the pointed knives in their property. Our reporter Josh Bailey has spoken to officers Kayleigh Warden and Glenn Rickersay.
So rounded end knives are your normal kitchen knife that you would use in to chop your potatoes or your Sunday roast, but the end has been blunted. So they are literally, as described, a rounded end.
I mean, what's the difference they can make, you know, compared to a mere normal kitchen knife? What's the difference that they can make having a rounded knife?
Research has told us they don't even penetrate cotton in a stabbing motion, let alone skin, so they're less harmful. They're also less attractive for a young person to take out onto the street. So we held a focus group with a group of young people. They have said that there's no way they would take them out. They would look like idiots. They're less threatening looking.
Parents will be listening to this. What do you think? What would you like to say to parents to make them realise it is an option to use rounded knives?
How many knives have you got in your drawer? You know, have a look. You know, be more responsible. What can we do about it? Because some parents I've got into houses, they have no idea. You know, let's open up the utensil drawer and let's swap them out. Let's be aware of what we've got. And that's for every parent or guardian everywhere. Do you really need a pointed end knife?
Though while this scheme is positive, Glenn, you still believe that the most important aspect to this is the education.
They've got to want to come on that journey, and it's about making sure that they know the reasons why that journey is there. But a lot of what we talk about is that wider aspect to it, and actually there's a family circle attached to both sides of that. There's a friendship circle attached to both sides of it. And imagine if the worst case scenario, someone loses their life through knife crime, and you've got to imagine there's a seat around the table that's always vacant. Yes, the knife is one element of it, but I keep going back to the education aspect, because it's so important that we're educating these young people that there's consequences to decision making. You make that decision to take a knife out of your house, there's lots of consequences that will come, and there might not be a consequence that affect them now. It could be a consequence that happens in 3-4 years' time.
Two sporty stories to end our programme tonight. Firstly, the Cheltenham Festival kicked off today, and it started with a tribute to jockey Michael O'Sullivan, who recently passed away. Well, the event is one of the biggest in the horse racing calendar. Our Gloucestershire reporter, Jess McGilvery, is there for us.
The festival is well and truly underway, with the famous Cheltenham Roar signifying the first race of the day. Hundreds of thousands of racegoers will be at this course over the next few days to get a glimpse of the action. I've been speaking to people about what makes this event so special.
Every image I see in front of my eyes is a picture.
Just a unique experience for the week. You know, it's 28 of the best races in the world.
It's the best event of the whole year in the horse racing, so we like to be here for the horses. Good excuse to socialise and drink champagne.
The festival ends on Friday with probably the biggest race of the week, the Cheltenham Gold Cup. Could we see Galopin de Champs win it for the third year in a row?
And finally, back to Olivia Davis at Old Trafford, where this year's lineup for Soccer Aid has been announced.
The one and the only Tyson Fury is coming out of retirement and partnering up with United legend Wayne Rooney. But no, it's not for a fight. The surprising duo will actually co-manage England for this year's Soccer Aid, and it's being held at Rooney's old ground, Old Trafford. Presenter Alex Brooker will be playing for England for the fourth time. He's excited to see how the pair can manage the team.
Oh, do you know what? I cannot wait to see what Tyson's like as a manager. I just can't wait. I'm smiling even thinking about it, and we're not even in June yet. But he's going to be great. And as for Rooney, he's just a legend of English football. Yeah. Just one of the greatest players ever. So I can't wait to be on the pitch with him.
Well, the annual football match raises millions for UNICEF ever since being set up almost 20 years ago.
Honestly, it's the best thing I've ever done. Genuinely, it's obviously apart from having kids and getting married and that, but it's the best thing I've ever done. It's a privilege to be involved. It's for such an incredible cause as well. I've been very fortunate to be a part of this event for the last 4 years, and I went on one of the trips with UNICEF 2 years ago to the Zaatari refugee camp in Jordan, and I saw firsthand the difference the money makes, the projects that they do that are making such a difference to the most vulnerable people in the world, which are children. And there can be no better cause in my eyes. And as I say, we're all here, all these people, the glitz, the glamour, the big show, the halftime show, it's to get people in the stadium.
Other famous faces you can expect to see on the day include Hits Radio's own Sam Thompson and One Direction star Louis Tomlinson. The fun will all kick off this Father's Day on the 15th of June.
And you can find out more on these and other stories on the news pages of our radio station websites. And don't forget to come back here tomorrow or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or listen to us on the Rayo app. There's a new daily digest of news on Behind the Headlines uploaded every weekday evening.